Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but believe me, never duplicated. I've been knocking out bums for guess how long? 40 years. Knocking out bums for four decades. This is Guinness Book of World Record type of stuff. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show. Of course, I'm not only your host, but I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer, so I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. You are. Did you see that last night? I mean, talk about upsets. Talk about that and more. Of course, Armando Jose Resendez, whatever he wants to call himself, bottom line is, he whooped on Caleb Plant like he owned him. It was like domestic violence. He beat on him for the most part, and yet one judge had it 115, 113, or 7-5 in rounds for Caleb Plant in a fight where he got licked like a stamp. He got outlanded by 100 punches. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, the other guy won like the last six or seven rounds on the other two scorecards. Of course, the fans had it 117-111, or not, you know, I mean, they gave him three rounds. That was it. The fans did. The fans gave him three rounds, right? But guess what? One judge, David Sutherland, based in Oklahoma, but now basically living out of, although he fought, there's a picture of him on Facebook this week flying first class into Las Vegas. Okay, first class, he's making a big deal about flying first class. Well, guess what? He went in there, and I think he was part of a scam. I don't think he's inept. I think he was crooked. I'll talk about the in-depth today. I'm going to go down on him, man. I mean, talk about, like, deep on David Sutherland. There's no doubt about it. Because you know what? It's time to speak up. When a judge goes so far off, let me tell you like this. Let me tell you how far he was off. He scored the fight 6 points the opposite of the other two judges. He's off on, in other words, he scored six rounds differently than they did. Come on, he scored seven rounds. The fans scored it even more decisively, 117, 111. I mean, come on, man. What more can I say? It was a big ripoff, and I'll talk about that in depth if I want to go deep on this one. I probably will. Mark Kriegel will be here today, the award-winning author and, of course, the man at ESPN Boxing Straight Up. He's an icon, no doubt about that. We'll have him at about 40 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing on iHeartRadio and, of course, Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA channel.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
When you switch to Progressive, you could save bundling your home and auto. Then you could put that money towards some of the surprisingly more expensive things in life.
May I help you?
I just wanted to request a late checkout, please.
Of course. That's $30 per hour for up to 4 hours.
Huh. Okay, but if you can offer a late checkout, then that probably means no one is staying in that room. So if it's empty, you know, maybe I can just stay a few extra hours.
Oh, aren't you adorable?
Life costs a lot. So bundle and you could save with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Slim was supposed to be out of town last night for 24-1 underdogs Jose Resendez. Jose Armando Resendez now 16-2, 11 KOs out of Mexico. I think out of Tijuana to be exact. The WBA interim champion now at 168 pounds. Why they needed the World Boxing Association, why they needed an interim champion just blows my mind. Of course, the champion is Canelo Alvarez. Why would you need an interim champion when you've got an active champion, of course, fighting again in September and defending that title? But that's the WBA. Bottom line is, let's talk about this. Caleb Plant and Jose Resendez is why you watch boxing. I'm telling you. I mean, you sit there, you watch 100 fights, and for the most part, maybe 75, 80, maybe even 90 of those fights are, blasé, they're okay. But the bottom line is, you stick around for that small percentage of fights that are special, that things happen. Bottom line is, last night was a special fight, no doubt about that. A 24-1 underdog comes in with a record, as I said, 15-2, now 16-2 with 11 KOs. He didn't knock Caleb Plant out, but let me put it to you this way. He lit him up like the White House Christmas tree. I mean, Caleb Plant, the right side, the left side of his body, from right hands to the body and around the kidneys and the liver and that kind of good stuff. Oh, man, both sides of the body, but the left side especially of Caleb Plant was red as a beet, as was his face. And this was because he was either gassed or he was getting lit up like White House Christmas tree. It just wasn't pretty for the 25-1 favorite, Caleb Plant. Bottom line is, it was ugly. Scores were 116-112, 116-112. That's the 8-4 in rounds, okay? And this one judge, David Sutherland, we'll talk about him in depth, of course, of Oklahoma, he had it 115-113 for Caleb Plant. Bottom line is, that was a ripoff, no doubt about that. I had it 116-112. And the bottom line is, I had it 116-112, or it would have been 117-111, but I was on the phone for one round. So when I was on the phone for the one round, I can't be judging the round when I'm on the phone. Bottom line is, so I gave the round to the house fighter, of course, and I had it 116-112 for Resendez. So there was no way in the world that this other guy would win. But the scorecard submitted by Sutherland should be examined by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. He voted for the house guy after he was demolished for the vast majority of 12 three-minute rounds. It brought me back to the Sin City days of Dalby Shirley, a Las Vegas resident and judge that had Vito Anafermo beating Marvin Hagler in their first fight, 144-142, in a 15-round fight that Hagler clearly won. Now, they don't need an in-house buffoon or a crook. They can import him. You know, let's talk about Dalby. They can import one from Oklahoma. What time is it? That's right. as David Sutherland time. Bottom line is David Sutherland may have some dirty pictures of the New York of the Nevada State Athletic Commission head Stephen Klubeck. He has to be. I mean, said to be a devout heterosexual, Sutherland must have pictures of Klubeck in a miniskirt. I mean, why else would they repeatedly fly this inept clown or crook into town? I mean, and I lean to the latter, as it just doesn't make it doesn't get much worse than what Sutherland did last night. Let me throw some gasoline on this buffoon. Bottom line is, he does 3 to 8 round fights in his native Oklahoma. I saw one 10 round fight in Oklahoma, and the exception, of course, outside of working in Nevada, was that Teofimo Lopez last fight with Barbosa, I guess, in New York City. Sutherland makes 95% of his money in Las Vegas, it appears. And again, he lives in Oklahoma. This, folks, is the putrid, smelly side of boxing. And Mr. Sutherland, he's flying back to Oklahoma today, first class. Like Al and Peg Bundy of TV's Married with Children, inept or crooked boxing official like David Sutherland, well, they don't fly coach. In closing on Sutherland, he should never get another chance. You blow things that bad, it has to be, in my mind, intentional. The Mexican fighter won the last 7 rounds on the other 2 cards. The TV people had his end his way in front. I'll repeat myself for the fans, but the fans of BoxRec had it 9-3 in rounds or 117-111 for Armando Resendez. Only Mr. Sutherland had it for Caleb Plant, and again, that score was criminal. It just was. According to the Supreme Bean Counters at CompuBox, Resendez landed 16 of 50 punches per round and hurt Plant several times, while the former champ landed just 9 of 42 punches per round, and guess what? He never hurt Resendez. Resendez had 109-70 edge and power shots landed, and of course, Plant, being Caucasian with the complexion that has the connection, all that kind of stuff, and yet it was his face that was red as a beet, as was the left side of his body. The bruising was evident early on, and Resendez never stopped cracking Plant to the body with the right hand. Although he staggered Plant, this body work is what took the fight out of, again, a 24-1 favorite that Judge David Sutherland of Oklahoma felt won the fight 7-5. If they beheaded judges figuratively, Sutherland's head would be lying in a bucket. Straight up. Jermall Charlo. Of course, the former WBC middleweight champion was in the co-feature of this premier boxing champions event on Prime Video Cable last night. Of course, he and Caleb Plant had real heat between them as Plant got witch-slapped by Jermall. Take that back. Plant witch-slapped Jermall, who was a bigger Charlo. And, of course, he's had some emotional and police issues in the last couple of years. But he slapped him, and that's what set up this fight. Truth be told, both the Charlo brothers are probably done. And while Jermall beat up overmatched 16-1 underdog Thomas Cornflake LaManna, now 39-6-1 with 18 kills with a one-sided KO in 5, you might remember his brother Jermall Charlo for not trying against Canelo a couple of years ago. Jermall, fighting for the first time since 2023, is now 34-0 with Amanda being KO number 23. Straight up, let's go to the Bronx and bring in, of course, my main man, Sir Thomas Dillon Booth. And was I too tough on Sutherland there?
No, absolutely not. You he deserves every bit of criticism that you've given him.
I couldn't see that being inept. You hear what I'm saying? I couldn't. And then, yeah. I don't know if you saw on his Facebook page, he's taking video of himself off, sitting all alone in first class, flying out to Vegas from Oklahoma.
No, that I didn't see. But did you go over any other controversial scorings that he had? Because I've got a few of them.
Oh, do you really?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. Shoot me. Shoot him.
Well, one, we're going to, in the fight with Berlanga and Canelo, we all know Canelo won that fight easy. He was the only judge that gave Berlanga 3 rounds. I thought that was a bit too generous. when Virgil Ortiz fought Boachuk, that everybody, I think, thought Boachuk won that fight clearly, but yet Virgil Ortiz won a majority decision. He scored it 114-112 for Virgil Ortiz. Another fight, here's one that I thought he was way off the mark as well. Raymond Muratalla against Tevin Farmer. A lot of people thought that fight could have been a draw. Some people thought that Farmer won. He gave Muratalla the victory 97-92 in a 10-round fight. That's 7 rounds to
7-2-1. 7-2-1. 1 round even.
7-2-1. Yeah. Oh, no, because there was a point deduction for Farmer. That's what it was. Right. Yeah, there was a point deduction. So it would have been 97-93, but they took the point up. But either way, that's 7 rounds from Muratalla, which was a joke. Teofimo versus Jermaine Ortiz. A lot of people thought Jermaine Ortiz won that fight.
Yeah.
He scored at 115-113. And another fight, close fight, Buelo for Sandor Martin. A lot of people thought Sandor Martin did enough to win that fight. He scored it for Buelo 115-113.
All right.
So David Sullivan.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Resendez. Of course, as I said, 16-2 now, 11 KOs. Of course, came in a 24-1 underdog. And they kept telling him in the corner of Spanish, controlled aggression, controlled aggression. And you know what? He bottled it. I mean, he knew when to open the bottle and spill and that kind of stuff and pour out punches. I mean, did you see the left side of his of Caleb Plant's body?
Yeah, it was beat up. It was bruised. he dominated. He dominates the body. That fight wasn't close. You know, he definitely looked the more fresher of the two at the end of the fight. You know, and this is a guy that was moving up in weight from 160 to 168.
Yeah, Tommy DeVoe, he moved from 160. I thought he was fat. I looked at his face, and then I sent you a text before the fight. This guy's got a fat face. We're in trouble as far as upsets are concerned because, you know, Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, and this is why they have fights. This is what Jack Fisk used to explain to me, the Hall of Fame boxing writer, said, listen, this is why they have fights, because he made me interview Buster Douglas when he was a 41 underdog for Mike Tyson. I said, why do I want to interview this guy? He quit in his last fight against Tony Tucker in the best big fight. I go, the guy's got a lot of dog in him, blah, 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 blah. He goes, he's fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship. You have to give him his props. You have to interview him. Okay, so I did. You know, a little boxing props there. But the bottom line is, right now, I think that I'm just speechless. I mean, and the reason why, because we've been through this so many times, time and time and time again. And, you know, I don't like doxing anybody like that, but I did put this guy's picture and his where he lives, his hometown up there, his BoxRec picture, put it up on my Facebook page. And I think that if you've got a chance to spit on him, and, of course, when we spit on people in the show, we spit on them with an H. If you get a chance to spit on Mr. Sutherland, please do so via Facebook. Check him out. He's got a big pace there. And, of course, he's flying out to Vegas in first class. The WBA, they were – hey, he's worked in Vegas like 8 or 9 times, and he's always title fights, and the guy's an eight-round judge at home.
Yeah, I don't get it.
No,
I don't
no, get it you get guy. It. You get no, no, you get it. You know what it is. This guy.
I do.
Yeah,
this, I do, but I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, we just can't. I mean, you just can't come right out and say it. Looks like they were flying this guy in to take to do certain things. Bottom line is, we'll talk about that in depth more after the break. Of course, Jermall Charlo, a winner. We'll talk about that after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. At 35, make that 40 minutes past the hour. We'll be joined by ESPN's Mark Craig, of course, Scott, with the new book on Mike Tyson, The Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson by Mark Craig. We'll talk about that more at 40 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline and iHeartRadio.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Yeah, man, we got to go back to the drawing board with this one. Caleb Plant dropped the ball. He looked out of shape. He looked a little, he couldn't have fought me tonight. I wish it would have happened to answer your question. But, you know, I'm not here to bash nobody, talk down on nobody, but Caleb Plant dropped the ball on this one. I want my league back. I still want my league back. I don't care if you got the belt or not. We can make a belt. They can make a belt. Somebody make a belt. I want my league back.
Was that Charlo on methamphetamines there or what? Was that a little fast there? I think it was. Did you catch that too? Was he on crank or was he on meth? What was going on there? Was that just a super fast there tape recorder there? Bob, that's pretty cool. I was listening to him. Sounds like he's high. Of course, you know, hey, he's not a guy that's averse to getting high either. He's got caught in the problem in the past with substances. And, of course, I think it was a DUI. But the bottom line is, I don't know. You couldn't gauge his performance last night against the talent that he faced, could you?
No, not at all. I mean, the only thing you can is that it's good to get him. He got some rounds in. He probably could have ended the fight earlier than when it did end. But he got some rounds in for a guy that hasn't been active over the last, 4 years? Or 3 or 4 years? So that's the only thing. Other than that, he didn't fight anybody that was worth mentioning, you know.
You say he hasn't been active. The police blotters have him quite active. I mean, in the last couple of years, he's had his issues with the cops.
He hasn't been active in the boxing ring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In the criminal justice ring, he's an active participant, no doubt about that. You know, but it was supposed to set up this fight. The last night's fight was supposed to set up the Charlo and Caleb Plant fight. If Caleb Plant is done, stick a fork in him. I don't think he can ever resurrect his career. I don't think so. He might have been. I mean, he was so gassed. I mean, with the body shots just kicked his ass.
Yeah, I think the body shots. His preparation didn't look like it was any good because, you know, the gas tank was kind of out, you know, second half of the fight. You know, maybe the body punches has something to do with that as well.
I think now he's going to be considered an opponent. Tommy D, that was one of those brutal body beatdowns I've seen in a long time. And he didn't do it with many hooks. He did it basically with right hands to the body.
Yes, right hands to the body. And, you know, he hit him. He buzzed him a few times upstairs as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you look at K-Dub's last win, he fought a guy, McCombie hurt him and dropped him as well. So, you know, it may be over for Plant. He may be looked at as more as an opponent, more than a contender than anything now.
Okay, I'm going to pay tribute in hour number two to Mike McCallum, of course, passed away, the former junior middleweight champion of the world, former middleweight champion. I didn't think they had a super middleweight class at that point in time, and he went to 175 and won a title there. I thought he got shorted in a couple of fights that he might have deserved to win. And I'll go on the record and say this. Roberto Duran abandoned the WBA 154-pound crown to get away from him, I thought, because there was no – I mean – high risk in fighting Mike McCallum at that point in time, okay? And, of course, that was in the 80s. And, of course, I thought Ray Leonard stayed away from him. Ray told me high risk, low money. And then when I mentioned him to Hagler one time, Hagler dismissed him as the junior middleweight champion. You know what I'm saying? They all, none of them beat on their chest and said, bring that Jamaican to me.
Yeah, the only one that went and fought him was James Toney. And yeah. James Toney, I thought he lost the first fight. That fight was a draw, I believe. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was counted as a draw, the first fight. They fought three times.
Well, let me tell
you. That first fight, I thought McCallum won that fight.
Okay. I thought McCallum's highlight, though, was when he knocked out 3-1 favorite Donald Curry in July 18, 1987. I had the whole family. I was married at that point in time. I had the whole family, mother, father, everybody, stepfather. Everybody was in Vegas for this fight, and we were all staying at the Imperial Palace Hotel because I had the free rooms and all that kind of good stuff. Bottom line is, the family, I think we spent $3,000 that week.
Wow.
No. Not in money, in hotel money. You know what I'm saying? Listen, my mother was getting massages every other day. I mean, we were there 4 or 5 days. She was getting massages. The old lady was getting, everybody was having a good time. Bottom line is, you know, when you work for the place, you learn how to cash things in. Anyway, those were the good old days. But July 18, 1987, and Donald Curry gets knocked out, I think, in the fifth round. But what happened was, I implored my stepfather, my Mexican-American stepfather, who sort of grew up during the Depression or after the Depression, to bet on McCallum. And McCallum was a 2.5-to-1 underdog, and he didn't want to do it. He was nervous. He was smoking cigarettes, and he was nervous. You could see his hand shaking because I'm telling him to bet $300, and like $300, he's never bet $300 in his life. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta bet it. You gotta bet it. And he goes, oh. So I had to push him all the way to the betting counter to get him to bet the $300 because I thought McCallum was going to win easy. I thought McCallum was way a better fighter and a bigger fighter than Curry. And Curry was 27-1. He had lost, of all people, Lloyd Hunnigan, who I thought couldn't win the Golden Gloves. Anyway, so when the fight was over with, my stepfather went to the betting counter with his ticket and he's cashing it at 2.5-to-1. I think got like $900 back for his $250 investment or something like that. But the bottom line is, he was talking. And spit with an H after that on how you're such a genius coming up with this bet. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Tommy D?
Yeah.
I remember he was sitting there, had a beer in his hand. God bless him, man. But he had a beer kicking back in his hand there at the Imperial Palace Hotel. Goes, yeah, I threw 250 on him at 2.5-to-1, something like that. You know, but I almost had to put a gun to his head to do it. But may he rest in peace.
He gave you no credit.
Huh?
He didn't give you any credit?
No, I don't know if he didn't need to. He didn't need to.
Did he buy you a beer?
No, he bought me a lot. He bought me a lot over the years. I mean, listen, he was one of those guys.
Okay.
He and my mother were the reason why I was able to climb to the heights I did as an amateur boxer, because of the fact that they made me run. I mean, they would wake me up like at 5:30 in the morning, it's time to run, this and that. And I say, I ain't going to run. I don't feel like running, blah, blah, blah. You know, the other guy's a bum, this and that, blah, 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 blah. And my mother would come in, or my stepfather would come in, they say something like, you know, all the spit you've been talking about this dude, you know he's up running for your ass right now. Right? So 30 seconds later, the psychological trick worked. 30 seconds later, I was out of bed getting ready.
Oh, that's good. Well, credit to them, man.
I give my mother and stepfather all the credit for winning 4 Golden Glove championships. And remember, back in the Olympic year of 1984, there were only 12 guys that finished ahead of me in a quest for the gold medal. Of course, that was a long time ago, but that was a great year, no doubt about that. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, talking about the body snatcher, Mike McCallum. Let's get away from Mike McCallum for a second. What do you know about Mark Kriegel?
Mark Kriegel's a good guy. I've met him once. You know, he works with ESPN. I'd be interested to know what is boxing going to be, what's Top Rank going to do after, you know, after that contract is up, you know. But, yeah, I got no complaints on Mark Kriegel. I think he's good. I think he's, you know, he's not biased, you know, like a lot of some of the ESPN guys or Top Rank guys that announce, you know. So, yeah, I don't really have anything bad to say about Mark Kriegel.
Upset of the year, Resendez beating Platt thus far?
Right now, yeah.
Without a doubt.
I'm trying to think of, right now that's a big upset because that he was there to lose, you know, because they already had, you know. This happens all the time when they try to set up two opponents and feature them, you know, in a card, and one of them usually loses. So
But Tommy D, that's at least when they set up guys that wouldn't. I mean, all these guys, these two guys they fought last night, they were supposed to be. Will he stand up? That was their names. Will he stand up? Will he stand up? Okay, but the bottom line is, and then the one guy they should have been KO Pectate, and it didn't turn out that way. Of course. 24-1, 16-1 underdog. You can't get much higher than that as far as setting up a future fight card is concerned, bro.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. You know, and that's why you know, that's why you either play the game, and in this situation of boxing, that's why, you know, you get in the ring. You know, that's what counts, what happens in the ring.
Good point. Tommy D, I got a break for Mark Kriegel. You want to come back in hour number two, or have you got to take the rest of the day off?
I know why you say it like that. I don't like it, but I'll be back in hour number two if you'll have me.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ray. Hey, you know, Sir Thomas did a little, let's talk about the Friday night show. You didn't do a show Friday night. I tuned in. It wasn't there. What's happening?
I took the night off. I took the night off.
Okay, but no. You need to expand on it than that. I took the night off. What is it? Are you back next Friday?
I'll be back this Friday, yes. I'll be back Thursday and Friday.
Okay, this network.
I'll be back Thursday with Rich Mancuso. I mean, I was on Thursday night with Rich Mancuso's show. Rich Mancuso took the night off, you know, so I did the show on pretty much Thursday night. But I'll be back next week on both shows.
What is, you know, Rich Mancuso, like, he's like the godfather of New York City media. I mean, he's been around long. He's older than dirt, isn't he?
Jesus. He's up there in age. Wow, but yeah, he's been around. He's been covering the sport for over 40 years.
I WFAN back in the day, the whole nine yards. I remember I wanted to move to New York City. And this is real quick. I wanted to move to New York City in the 90s, isn't that? In fact, HBO said, if you move to New York City, we can get you a job at WFAN, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. I said, yeah. So I teetered around by it, and I didn't want to leave my aunt. My auntie Julie was old, and she was sick, you know what I'm saying? And I saw her fading, and my mother was fading, this and that. And I figured if I left New York, my cousins left, and they my one cousin went to Peru and stayed there for 2 years. But when you go without your mother or your aunt for 2 years, I just couldn't do it. So being the sissy that I was, I turned the job down.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I turned the job down. You know, I had a chance to be Mr. Big Apple there for a long before any of those clowns up there. Bottom line is, I just couldn't do it. Coming back at hour number two, the great Sir Thomas Dillamoot. Tommy, talk to your agent. Have a good time.
You got it, bro. Thank you.
All the best. Coming up next, Mark Kriegel, author, ESPN analyst. Of course, the man's wrote all kinds of books. We'll get into his Mike Tyson book in depth next on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So you just said that until recently you'd never been faithful. So you weren't faithful to Robin either?
Oh, no.
And your second wife, were you faithful there?
No.
The baddest man on the planet, Mike Tyson, of course. The Making of Mike Tyson, that's a new book out by Mark Crago. We are joined by Mark Crago. Come to us, I believe, from Santa Monica, California. You live in Santa Monica, sir?
I do. I grew up in New York City, where I am now.
Okay. When you were in Santa Monica, did you ever see Whitey Bulger?
Not that I know of, man. I would have gone out for a beer with him if you...
Here's what's up. I don't know if you know this, but the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, was going to Whitey Bulger's building once a week and visiting somebody, and he did this for like several years, and he never saw Whitey. So I asked him and his wife, I said, you were going in there once or twice a week, you never saw Whitey Bulger? And they pointed at each other.
How would he know how would Larry know what Whitey looked like if he was incognito?
Yeah, that's a good point. But the bottom line is, you know, Whitey.
How come Whitey didn't say hello to Larry? I saw Larry yesterday before I left, Friday, I think.
He's wonderful to be around. I'm going to go down and visit him again in the next couple of weeks. Of course,
we go out to dinner. We go to lunch every couple Fridays.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. You're very fortunate. In fact, not a whole lot of people get to spend time with him. You know, he and I go back 41 years now. Of course, I think the night that we met was the Hagler-Hearns fight when he ran up to me. He just ran up to me out of the blue and said, could you believe what just happened? I mean, that began our relationship. We've been tight since, of course. And his wife, Patricia Merchant, may she rest in peace, the godmama. She passed away about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Of course, they scattered her ashes in Hawaii. So she's happy, and the godfather's content, and I hope to see him in the next couple of weeks. But to spend time around him is just invaluable. You can't put a price on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about your book, Mike Tyson. Talk to me about it. You wrote these other books. I got to give you props on these other books, first of all. The Life of Pete Maravich, a biography pistol. Man, he was an amazing athlete. In fact, he might have been one of the pound for pound, maybe the best player pound for pound. Who knows? Maybe better than Michael Jordan. And The Good Son, The Life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini. Of course, The Bad Son was Lenny Mancini, I believe, of course. And, of course, we mentioned the Whitey Bulger thing. But now the Mike Tyson book. I'm holding it here. Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson. Talk to me about that. What compelled you to write this book?
Well, first thing was I owed the publisher money, and I did not want to do a Tyson biography. Probably the last thing I would have done. I was actually thinking of places I'd rather drive a nail through my body than revisit all the crap I wrote about Tyson in the 90s and covering him. It was not first on my list, and I had actually torn a hamstring, and I was a little over-medicated at the time. And the publisher calls and says, hey, you know, you owe us money. A friend of mine says, you can't give money back. It's your duty as a writer not to give money back.
Never.
I tried to figure out a way in all seriousness that I could write about Tyson or my experiences covering Tyson without writing a full biography. A biography is a pretty labor-intensive endeavor. And I asked him, well, can I do some kind of like essay type piece? He says, yeah, sure, whatever you want. And lo and behold, Tyson generates so much damn story that the book became fatter and fuller, and it required more and more context. And, you know, I guess a couple years later, I sat down with the editor, was pretty happy with the book. I said, hey, I'm glad you're happy. We've got about like 80,000 words here, and Tyson's still like, I don't know, about 16 years old. What the hell do you want to do? This is not a little skinny, elegant book. And he says, is there a place where you can cut it to do a two-volume book? I said, of course. The first thing I told him when he broached the subject, absolutely not. But in fact, here we are. It's a two-volume book now, or supposed to be. And it ends at the Sphinx fight, which I don't know about you, but to me that's the obvious break and the high point of his professional career.
I watched that fight from the last row of the Atlantic City Convention Center with a pair of binoculars. I was part of the press crew back then. They set up these kitchen chairs, and they were all green chairs.
Right.
And they set these kitchen chairs up after the last row in the convention center. I kid you not. And they put me in this last row. It was my first trip to Atlantic City. I couldn't say nothing. Couldn't talk any smack. Anyway, the bottom line is I'm tuning in the binoculars, and bomb, the fight's over.
Mm-hmm. 91 seconds. But, I mean, what people forget with that, and I know you played the clip of him and Robin, or him talking about Robin before, but, you know, I didn't realize at the time. I was a kid. I was, like, covering cops and courts. My first Tyson assignment was actually a city editor waking me up in the middle of the night telling me to run up to Harlem. He just got into a fight with Mitch Green and Dapper Dan's. But what I didn't really understand at the time is that this is a guy, a 21-year-old kid, who's basically, I don't mean this in the clinical sense, but being torn apart, having a kind of breakdown. And I was not particularly charitable to Tyson. As a matter of fact, I wasn't charitable to Tyson at all when I was writing a column in New York. I think differently of it now. I mean, his wife, the mother, her sister had gone to the papers about a week to go before what was then a fight of the century, saying that he was drinking too much and he was violent. Putting aside the allegations right then, I mean, the kid's breaking down in crying spells in the weeks leading up to the fight. And underneath all the apparent ferocity was this young kid who, you know, nothing can really prepare you for a fight kind of like that. And also, if you remember, like, Michael Spinks wasn't a chump.
No.
He had handled Larry Holmes. He had just completely done away with Cooney. He was undefeated. He'd overcome an awful lot in life. He knew what he was doing in the ring. But to put him out in 91 seconds, I mean, you know, that exceeded, even for Tyson, people were accustomed to seeing those early spectacular knockouts, even for Tyson. That raised the bar.
It
crystallized the notion of him, not just in America, but around the world.
It took 2 seconds more to make a believer out of Carl the Truth Williams, or make a liar out of Carl the Truth Williams, than it did to make a believer out of Michael Spinks. Mike, I mean, when he had that last fight with Carl Williams, and I was there, this and he blew him out, there's no doubt about that. We had the big party afterwards, and this and that. Was that the end? I mean, do you think he ever got it together after that point in his career?
I think the high point for him, and I think that he'd agree with this too. He said it before. The high point for him physically was actually Burbick.
Okay.
And Burbick was big and strong, and he did him, I think, what is it, like two or three rounds?
Two rounds, something like that.
Yeah, but he does that he falls like in each corner of the ring. He says it was Burbick. I think it was Spinks because of
the
pressure and the magnitude of the fight. It's an interesting thing. You remember Rock Newman?
Sure. Rock Newman, mouthpiece.
But I always think he did a great job with Bo. But he was working for Butch Lewis at the time,
right.
The kind of spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the things he remembers that the Tyson camp was really, and HBO were furious at Butch Lewis and Spinks for leaving the HBO unification tournament, which was, all of it was organized around Tyson. You got to remember, like, a decade before Tony Soprano,
that's what
Tyson did. For HBO, his economic impact on the rise of that network can't be underestimated. Which is, you know, They built something here that will never be duplicated in terms of its financial impact.
I remember the old days when Uncle Seth Abraham ran the show there at HBO, and he was good to me. What was your relationship with him like?
My relationship with him was great. If you check out the book, you'll see Seth has an awful lot to say, and I think most of it's really, really smart.
You know,
but what I was saying though at the time about Rock Newman,
mm-hmm.
they didn't want, you know, the Butch Lewis and Spinks, I think they pulled out of the fight. They pulled out of the tournament in some measure because they could make easier money
right.
with Cooney.
Mm-hmm.
And because at some level they really asked both the Spinks, I wasn't really dying to fight Mike. You know, Mike was funny in that the enormity of fear he struck in a professional fighters, guys who were seasoned. So what Rock Newman did, he had a mole in the Tyson camp, okay, and they would know. Wherever Tyson showed up at, like, clubs, bars, whatever it was. And they always had a bunch of guys, and in some cases, girls, telling them, yo, you scared, you're an X, you're a Y, you're a Z, you're a this, you're a that, you scared of Spinks, you know it. And it drove Mike crazy. And finally, Tyson went to the late Jimmy Jacobs. And said, you better make this fight. And that's how the damn fight happened, because Tyson couldn't stand hearing that anymore.
Okay. I got a question for you, and this may be a little off the wall or off subject. Were Custy Amato and Jim Jacobs gay together? They lived in the studio apartment together for like 10 years.
I don't know. I mean,
I just thought I'd throw it at you. I mean, you're the guy. You're the iconic author.
I don't know. I wasn't there in the studio apartment. I mean, I do address in part the issue of Cuss's sexuality in this. And I mean, you got to read. You're gonna have to go through the book.
I've got the book, and I'm reading it now. Yeah. I started the book, man. Believe me, I hope to have this book done in a week.
No. But. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean,
Jimmy was married. Hold up.
You asked me a question, though. Jimmy was married. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't in there with either of them. I think what Cuss really cared about. And I'm not dodging the question because I have the same, I have similar questions. You have to look at how I dealt with it in the book, and it is sort of ambiguous. But I don't think Cuss cared about anything so much as being immortal.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things he was asking Mike as a kid is, it wasn't just about, you know, when you get a young kid, maybe you get him out of lockup or you get him off the street, you say, hey kid, you know, we're going to turn you pro one day, we're going to see what you got, we'll put you in the gloves, maybe we'll get you a GED, straighten out your life. It was none of that with Tyson. From the beginning, it was about being the best and the youngest of all time, which is an extraordinary pressure to put on a kid. And maybe it was commensurate with his talent. But I also think at some level, what Cuss was asking Mike to do was make me live forever. And we always talk about the fighter's ego. And like to be a fighter, you need a crazy ego from the jump. Just to go up the stairs, go in there basically naked and fight in front of people. But in large measure, what this story is about is the ego of the trainer. And I think that, you know, Cuss is in many ways his creator.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also asking, he's driving a really hard bargain with that kid, which is make me live forever. Now, Tyson, when I spoke to him about this, you know, he pushed back on it because I think he feels this enormous debt to Cuss, as well he should, but his response is, you know, I tell him, I said, you know, I'm not sure it's really the healthiest thing to do. You take a 13-year-old kid out of lockup, and you put him under hypnosis, you tell him he's a scourge from God, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, you talk about immortality, as long as people know my name, they're going to know his, too. Didn't I make him immortal? And the answer is, yes, he did.
Wow. The book is called Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson. Mark Kriegel is the author. We thank you so much for your time, young man. And if you ever want to come back here, believe me, you have an open invitation week in and week out. You know, in 1984, I was at the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs. Of course, I finished 13th in the country that year at 139 pounds. But the bottom line is, I saw Michael Nunn talk down Mike Tyson. You ever heard that story?
Oh, is that right? No, I didn't, man.
All right. So here's a little bit.
I'm dying to hear it, Pedro. Okay. Yeah.
All right. We're all sitting in the hot tub, and Pernell Whitaker, all these guys were sitting in the hot tub there in Atlantic City. It was shaped like a boxing glove, sort of like a teardrop. Something like it was a big old hot tub, like a swimming pool. Anyway, Mike, we're going back and forth, and he's black. I'm just there. I'm the only non-black guy there. I'm 23% black. Puerto Rican don't count. But the bottom line is, I'm like sitting there, and I'm in all these guys, and they're going back and forth, and they're capping on each other like, your mama did this, your mama did that. And then Mike said something like, I knew your mama when she was hoeing to Michael Nunn. And Michael Nunn stood up in the hot tub, walked across the tub, and said, MF, get your ass up. And Mike froze and didn't do anything. So that, by the way, I think Mike realized he had stepped across the line there. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a hell of a story. I believe you, but it's a hell of a story. Never heard that one before, Pedro.
Well, listen.
I should have called you, man. That's one interview I didn't get that I should have.
Nah, I'm just an old guy. Bottom line is, you know, that was my era in 1984. Of course, finishing 13th in the country was an honor, no doubt about it.
I got a question. Were you there the day that him and Holyfield got into it?
No.
At the pool table?
No. I tell you one, good old Holyfield told me one morning I was bitching about the food, right? He said to me, be glad you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't say nothing else. Be glad you're. That's all. That was the first thing he ever uttered to me because I was bitching about the food.
Because the funny thing with him is that even when Mike was scaring everybody,
he wasn't.
He did not scare Evander.
You know what?
I mean, you know, Evander could not be bullied.
No, he couldn't. No doubt about that. But then again, I got to say that, you know, Evander had his Evander took his share of Flintstone vitamins, so that might have played a part as well. That's the subject for another day. Anyway, listen, I thank you so much for your time. I feel honored that you came on my show, Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson, Mark Kriegel. You can get you to Amazon. Where else can you get it? Everywhere.
I hope so.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best.
Comes out, I think, tomorrow, June 3rd.
Okay.
Well, you can get on Amazon now. Okay. All right?
I wish you the very best of luck, man. If you ever want to come back here, you have an open invitation anytime.
Hey, Joe, be my pleasure, man. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. The great Mark Kriegel of ESPN fame, of course, is the author of The Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson, coming out June 3rd, of course, on Amazon. Order right now. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own.
Coming up in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, after the news, we'll bring in Tommy D. We'll talk about June 19th, Manny Pacquiao's comeback, and a whole lot more in Ring Talk right after the news on Sports Byline.
Sports Shorts, I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. On the ice, Stanley Cup Finals action as the series now tied at 2-2. Oilers get an on-the-road W in Florida territory, winning in overtime 5-4 in Game 4. Game 5 back in Edmonton territory. NFL news, as cops in Miami are looking for former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown. Law enforcement seeking to arrest Brown on a charge of attempted murder. The four-time All-Pro was previously traded by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2019 to the Raiders after 9 seasons. However, Brown never suited up to play for the Raiders as he was released before playing a single game. Major League Baseball action. Rangers get a big on-the-road W against the Twins, 16-3. Mets at home take it over the Nationals by 1-4-3. Rockies win against the Giants, 8-7. Tigers on the road defeated the Orioles, 4-1. Cardinals blank against the Brewers. Brewers at home W, 6-0. Yankees win over the Royals, 1-0. Cubs get a W at home, winning against the Pirates, 3-2. And the Astros blasting off to a win over the White Sox, 4-3. Current standings in the American League, Yankees atop of the East Pack, Tigers at the number one spot in Central, and the Astros currently atop of the pack in the West, out of the National League. Mets take the number one spot in the East, Cubs currently atop of the pack in the Central League, and the Dodgers out of the West leading the pack. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Celebrate responsibly.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline Broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
1991, the NBA Finals. The Chicago Bulls beat the LA Lakers 108-101 in Game 5. It's their first of three straight titles. Michael Jordan is named the series MVP in his first NBA Finals appearance.
Pippen comes away with it, and the Chicago Bulls have won their first ever NBA championship.
For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Of course, live on iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, SportsByline.com, and of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Wow. Hour number one just flew past, but man, that interview with Mark Craig, that was deep, wasn't it? I mean, talking about Tyson, the fact that Castillo-Mondo wanted to live forever, and of course, he lived forever in the body of Mike Tyson. He sure did. There's no doubt about that. But check out the book, no doubt about that. I'm reading. I've only read one chapter, but it's pretty cool thus far. They gave it to me yesterday, so I've only read one chapter. Baddest Man: The Making of Mike Tyson by Mark Craig. This book will be at Amazon. It's available right now on Amazon.com, but it'll be available for sale. I believe actual sale on June the 3rd. So straight up, it was great to have him in hour number one. Of course, Tommy D will join me here in hour number two for part two of Tommy D. Of course, we talked in hour number one about David Sutherland, a judge from Oklahoma, of course, that works out of Las Vegas primarily. And the bottom line is, last night, he scored a fight that was like he scored a 150-130 for Caleb Plant, and Caleb Plant got licked like a stamp. Let me tell you like this. If these guys were gay, Resendez, Jose Armando Resendez, would have went to jail for domestic violence. I mean, that's how brutal the beating was. I mean, you would not believe his body. Caleb Plant's body, it looked like red as a hot dog. I mean, a hot dog. That's how red the body was. And on the left side where he was kept him cracked by the right hand time and time and time again. And I think those body shots were the key to the fight. The fact that I think that Caleb Plant didn't show up at 100% or 200%, but the bottom line is, shame on him. Shame on him. No doubt about that. A 24-1 underdog licked him like a stamp. Of course, the judges, Sutherland had it 115-113. For Caleb Plant, which was an atrocity, there's no doubt about it. And in my mind, it can't be inept. I think that has to be criminal. And of course, the other two judges had a 116-112, or 8-4 in rounds for the Mexican fighter. Of course, came in at 15-2, a 24-1 underdog. Once again, a 24-1 underdog. Nobody gave him a chance. Like Slim and none, and Slim's out of town. That's what Don King was saying. But the bottom line is, Jose Resendez, ups of the year thus far. No doubt about that in the sport of boxing. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. I'll delve into the career of Mike McCallum, that and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up after the break, we'll go back to the Bronx and spend some time with Mr. Thomas Dillon Booth. Straight up, Tommy D on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I hope that you understand that not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for boxing. It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
In a business full of hoes, pimps, and subcontractors, that's Jose Sulema talking about the sport of boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, mentioning the fact that Mike McCollum passed away yesterday. Evidently, he was on his way to the gym, and he got distressed in the car, pulled the car over, and when they came to find him, he was unresponsive in the car, and he died. And of course, let me tell you about Mike. Me and Mike go back a long, long ways, longer than I want to admit. But the bottom line is, at one point in time, I said to him, Mike, I said, you're older than you tell people. He said, what are you talking about? So I wrote it in Flash Magazine. I think he said he was born here, and what's according? Born December 7, 1955. And, of course, I said to him, I said, yeah, I think you were born in 53 or 52 because you fought in the Florida Golden Gloves. They said you were 21 in 1974 or something like blah, blah, blah. Anyway, bottom line is we went back and forth for years over his age. He was a great guy to be around. He was a great champion. I think the Fab Four, I'm talking about Marvin Hagler, of course, the middleweight champion, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard. Thomas Hearns didn't duck him. Thomas Hearns fought. No, take that back. Thomas Hearns ducked him as well. In fact, let me tell you about the Tommy Hearns thing. They were trying to set up this fight between Mike McCollum and Tommy Hearns for the WBA and WBC 154-pound crown, a unification match. But get this. Emmanuel Stewart didn't want to have no part of Mike McCollum. He had Mike McCollum in the gym. At one point in time, Mike McCollum was part of the Kronk gym. or like a sub. Yeah, he was part of the Kronk Gym, a man you worked with him. But the bottom line is, as far as him hooking up with Tommy Hearns, that never happened. He was avoided by most, but I think he was a great fighter. Most of all, he was a great human being. He was a good guy to be around. I mean, he was a credit to the sport of boxing, but more importantly, folks, and because a lot of people are a credit to the sport of boxing, but he was a credit to the to mankind. He was really that good of a guy. May you rest in peace, Mike McCallum. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, so we go from the deceased to the live and the well and living in the Bronx. We're talking about Sir Thomas Dillamuth, and how are you again, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro. How's everything?
Pretty good. Let's talk about June 19th. Of course, the MGM Grand, Manny Pacquiao versus Mr. Barrios. Barrios coming at 29-2-1, 18 KOs. Lost to Keith Thurman and was stopped by Gervonta Davis in 11 rounds. And Pac-Man, 62-8-2, 39 KOs. He hasn't fought in like August since August of 2021. When he lost to the then-average Cuban Yuri Argus. But Barrios has a split draw with Abel Ramos. He had a split draw in his last fight with Abel Ramos. And Abel Ramos, I don't want to put the impeccable one down in the other room, but I make him even money with Abel Ramos.
No, absolutely. I mean, I can't find a word, but it's something to set up to get Pacquiao another shot at the title, and I don't like it. You know, the guy's been out of the ring for I don't know how many years. All of a sudden, he's ranked in the the top 10 to give him the title fight, which I think is wrong.
Okay, let me cut you off right then and there, because you said he was ranked, right? Don't you think that every other fighter that is ranked by the WBC should file a suit against the WBC and Manny Pacquiao? I mean, you can't bring a guy and make him in the ratings after being out 4 years. You can't do that. What about all the other guys that deserve a shot?
No, I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, it's not fair. It's not right. You know, who is Manny? I mean, we know Manny Pacquiao. He's had a legendary career, but he's been out of the ring since 2021. That's almost 4 years he's been out the ring.
But isn't he? Isn't he asking for like increased risk of CTE? I mean, the guy's been fighting since he was 9.
Listen, after the fight with Ugas back in 2021,
uh-huh,
and the fight that he was supposed to win, because I think Ugas was a replacement opponent, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back. I think he was a replacement. He was supposed to fight somebody. Oh, he was supposed to fight Spence.
Ugh.
Right? And then Ugas was the late fill-in. And after that fight, there was videos of like Pacquiao's wife feeding him like oatmeal or cream of wheat or something, or farina. I don't know. It was very weird, but like obviously the guy couldn't take solid food, you know, and this was 4 years ago. Now he's out of the ring 4 years. He did a couple exhibitions where he didn't look well at either against guys that probably me and you could beat. And now he's going to fight Mario Barrios, who I know, you know, he's been stopped by good competition. He's lost to Tank Davis. He's lost to, you know, Keith Thurman. But at the end of the day, he's an active fighter. He's a champion. And I just think it's all wrong.
Man, I got to go back to saying this. If they push guys who were rated around me, if they push those guys aside, especially the number one contender, I'd be suing all the way down the list. And guess what? I think I could even go to Mexico and beat the WBC in court. I think I could.
I think you could. I think all those fighters have a legitimate case, you know, and it's just not right. And, you know, Mario Barrios, you know, he should be I don't know how much they're paying him. I'm sure they pay him well, but he should be upset about this too.
No. He shouldn't be upset about getting the fight a basically a Filipino bowling pin. Come on, man. I mean, you can't put the guy down for taking an easy fight.
Yeah, but you know, he doesn't get anything out of it except maybe whatever they're paying him.
That's going to be a couple million bucks, easy.
I understand that, but at the end of the day, when people look at Barrios, they're going to be like, who did you beat?
Doesn't matter. He can go to the – listen, let me run something by you. These title belts and a lot of history and where you stand in history and all that kind of good stuff, it stands second to the bottom line is when you're a professional fighter, you need to make money, a profession. You know what I'm saying? And this guy's going to get a chance to make $2 million bucks against a Filipino bowling pin, and I would jump at it. I would come back and fight Manny if I had a chance.
I understand that. Okay, I just think it's all wrong for boxing.
Okay,
it's all wrong, and it's a bad look in the WBC.
Okay, a bad look for the WBC. Of course, did you see that article that Mauricio Sulaiman put out about a week ago? Why the WBC ratings are so important?
No, I didn't see it. I know you spoke about it and you told me, but yeah, they're so important. But you know, who makes those decisions? As far as, you know, who gets ranked.
Well, ask David Benavides about the WBC ratings.
Yeah, we already know about
three,
that.
Three and a half years. Okay, the semi-main event is Sebastian Fedora, the 6'5" freak. 6'5" freak, of course, 22-1-1, 14 KOs, of course, 6'5". Going to say he's an elongated fighter, to put it the best. Of course, going to rematch Tim Zhu. The last time they fought, Tim Zhu, now 23-2, 18 whacks. The last time they fought, of course, Tim Zhu looked like he was going to win the fight, and then the second round he got elbowed, and when he got elbowed, he started bleeding like a pig. He never stopped bleeding, and the bottom line is this went on for 12 rounds, and I thought that Zhu never won a round or a minute of a round after getting cut. Of course, it hit a vein or an artery in the top of the head, about 2.5 inches above the hairline, according to Jake Stitch Duran, the famous stitch man, the famous cut man from Las Vegas. Zhu lost that fight, and then his next fight, of course, he had one win just recently, but the bottom line is he's damaged goods, isn't he?
I think he is a little bit damaged goods because he got annihilated in his next fight. Then he fought a guy that, you know, he was supposed to beat. He did what he would have to do, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think highly of Fundura either. I mean, I don't think he's that good. I mean, he's awkward. As far as, you know, an opponent, you know, he's like 6'100", right?
He has no, but he ain't coordinated.
No, absolutely, he's not. So I mean, it's an intriguing fight. I believe Zhu deserves that get back fight, you know. But you know, the winner of this, where do they go? You know, at the end of the day, Fundura should have been fighting, you know, Xander Zayas for the title, and instead, Xander Zayas is fighting you know, another guy, you know, for an interim, not an interim, but for a vacant title, I believe.
How good is Zayas in your mind? How good is he, the Puerto Rican, 154 pounds, right?
I think he's a very solid fighter. I think he's good. I don't want to put the word, I don't want to put great, and I don't want to put very in front of good just yet. I still think we need more data, you know, but I think he's a good fighter. He's young. I mean, I believe he's like 22 years old. You know, I believe he's going to get better, you know, so, but I don't want to put that. I think he's a very good fighter in a very good division, you know, but it's going to be hard to tell. I mean, I think he's supposed to win this fight coming up. They fighting, I believe, July 26th, you know, against Jorge Paez, I think his name is. You know, the guy got a big upset win against Charles Conwell, who I thought Charles Conwell might have been, you know, somebody to be reckoned with in the division. So it's a tough division. So as far as Xander and where to gauge him, I think he's a good fighter. I think time will tell. We'll see, you know, as he gets matched up with better competition.
All right, let's take a station break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide on Sports by Line, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, of course, the American Forces Network, and, of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports by Line USA channel. Our house historian, Frank, 1961's got all kinds of stuff for me to talk about a little later. Straight up, but this is Ring Talk Live worldwide, like you didn't know it.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you.
The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Give some props, baby. Jose Armando Resendez, Upset of the Year winner, 16-2, now 11 KOs. Beat the snot out of WBA interim world champion Caleb Plant, 23-2, 14 KOs. I got to ask you this, Tommy D. Why do they have interim champions at 168 if Canelo's a champion at 168 and he's active?
Because Canelo's not fighting his mandatories.
Well, okay, well, that's
Canelo doesn't fight the guys that he's supposed to fight. That's straight up. Like, I mean, look what happened to Benavidez. Mandatory, number one contender. For how many years?
Three and a half.
He wouldn't fight him.
Okay. So my main referee was in action last night during the Caleb Plant fight. Harvey Doc. Harvey Doc. Did he look like he was trying to take every? He looked like he was upset that the house guy was winning. Did you catch that?
I did catch that because I liked the little acting job that Plant did. Also, was it like a fake headbutt or something that he was complaining about? And like he like wobbled back. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, I caught that exactly.
But Harvey Doc did buy it. You know, I didn't buy it. You didn't buy it, but Harvey Doc did buy it, and I thought that was pretty funny.
You know what? But let's be honest, man. we talk about this guy. He's never in a positive light.
Harvey Doc?
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be one of the better referees. I mean, that's the guy that he's been getting all the big fights, you know, Vegas and in here in the East Coast. So I don't know. I mean,
okay, I got to ask you a question. How does David Sutherland get all these gigs, these big money fights in Vegas, when he lives in Oklahoma? Does he have dirty pictures of the athletic commission director or something like that wearing a dress?
I have no idea. He's only been reffing for about 23 years. I think he started reffing in since 2002 when I looked it up. So there's a lot of other judges that's been doing it, you know, pretty much longer than he has.
Back to July 19th, the Sebastian Fedora fight. I fought two tall guys in my life, and I beat Keith Rucker. He was 6'1", and I beat this Army champion. Otis Grimmel conned me into a fight. They told me the fight was canceled. It was supposed to be in the main event at the Menudo Festival over across the bay anyway. So bottom line is I show up that the day of the fight, and I've been partying the night before because they told me 24 hours I wasn't going to fight. You know what I'm saying? So I was partying. Yeah. I had intimate relationships with my girlfriend the whole 9 years. I did everything you weren't supposed to do. All right? And they conned me. Otis Grimble, the late Otis Grimble, a cop from Sacramento, conned me into taking this fight against this Army guy who he never showed me the guy. I never saw the guy. So I got in the ring, and the guy was like 6'3". Okay?
Wow. And what was the result?
The result was he got cut. And when he got cut, I was tired. I looked like an asthmatic. After the first round, man, I needed oxygen. I just needed oxygen, okay? So I was dying. And the second round, I cut him. And I told the referee, he's cut. He's cut. And the referee jumped in to stop the fight. Saved my ass.
That's excellent.
Saved my ass. I mean, there was no doubt about it. I mean, I have never been that tired in my life in one round.
Well, you know, the night before partying and
having fun with your girlfriend. We were outdoor in the sunshine. It was like 85 degrees.
Oh, that and that on top of that. Wow.
But that's what happens when you think you're Superman. I mean, I'm not trying to be egotistical or anything like that. But at that point in time, I was kicking everybody's ass.
Mm. Well, but they did you dirty by not, you know, letting you know that you was going to fight. You know?
No. Evidently, they didn't. They tried to say they didn't know until like an hour before the event. But anyway, I brought Lenny Albert over there to fight. He won that day, but I was just wanting to work his corner. And then, of course, I'm telling you, man, I look like I needed an oxygen tank after that first round. And I said to myself, you're in trouble. I was telling myself on the stool between the first and the second round, and Chris was trying to talk to me, and Tommy D, I'm saying to myself, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I mean, I knew it. I was in trouble. I was a beaten man. If this dude was looking across the ring, he's saying, man, this guy's ready to go. You know, and I was, but then he got cut. I yelled about the cut. Whoever the referee was, he stopped the fight right then and there. I thought that was so cool.
But let me ask you a question. Was somebody out to get you then, like, you know, to set you up like that?
I don't know if it was a setup or not. I just think that Otis Grimble was a cutthroat guy. He ended up committing suicide later in life. That's how he died. But the bottom line is he had some issues, and he ran the Golden Gloves. He was a Sacramento policeman. And me being an SF policeman, obviously he wasn't doing his brother policeman a favor.
No, not at all.
That Army guy was big, bro. He was big. And I never saw him weigh in. He weighed 156. And I weighed in like 143, 144. Anyway, it was crazy, no doubt about that. All right, let's talk about this one. Isaac Pitbull Cruz is going to rematch Angel Ferreiro. Pitbull Cruz 27-3, 18 KOs. Ferreiro 23-3-2, 18 KOs. Cruz won their first fight in February. I don't know. I thought that was a bit shady as far as that decision was concerned. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I thought Pitbull Cruz lost that fight. It wasn't even close in my opinion. But you know, that's another example of where the B fighter doesn't get any, you know, type of support or acknowledgement, and you know they do anything in their power to let the A side win.
You know what? You know what I would say before a fight? If I knew I was a live dog, I would go around to each judge before the fight and say, please be honest. I would just tell them, please be honest. I mean, and not that they would be dishonest, but here's what's up. A lot of times judges can't believe their eyes. You know what I'm saying? They can't. I mean, this guy's supposed to be killing somebody, and he's getting killed. They can't believe their eyes.
They can't. Okay. I mean, I'm looking at the scorecards. One judge had it 98-92. That's an embarrassment.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. I was blown away by that score, man. I just was, of course. Let's talk about the other fight on the card. Brandon Figueroa, 25-2-1 of Texas, faking Joel Gonzalez, 27-4. Of course, two-division champion Figueroa looks to rebound from a unanimous loss against Stephen Fulton in February. Talk to me about that fight.
I think it's a good fight. It's a good comeback fight for Figueroa, who got beat up pretty bad by Stephen Fulton. I mean, something I didn't expect. I actually thought Figueroa was going to win that fight going in, because in the first fight it was close, and you know Fulton has kind of been, you know, out of action since the Inoue fight after that. So I favored him. So this is a nice comeback fight against a guy, you know, a guy 27. What is it? 27-4. You know, he's
wax.
Pretty decent. He's going to be there in front of you, you know. So I think it's a good. In my opinion, it's like almost a tune-up fight. It's a name guy, but it's somebody that Figueroa should beat pretty easily.
Okay, switching gears, let's go to Wembley Stadium, of course, July 19th as well. Of course, Oleg Usyk, 23-0, 14 KOs, having last fought and beaten Tyson Fury not once but twice, takes on Daniel Dubois. Is that a good name for Daniel? Daniel Dubois.
Well, I think it's pronounced Dubois.
No, you're not seeing my point. I did it on purpose.
I do see your point. I was just trying to be the good guy here. Well, you play the heel. But yeah.
Yeah, you know.
But I get your point.
I mean, because you don't know which guy's going to show. I mean, Daniel Dubois has had a couple of different performance, a different type of, I mean, you know, I really think at one point in time, and right now is his time. I think if he steps up and tries to impose his will, I think he's got a good chance of winning.
I do too. He's been on a little bit of a roll ever since the loss to Usyk. Uh-huh. But
what about that body shot?
Was a body shot. Your favorite referee, you know, ruled it incorrectly.
Wait, time out. Luis Pabon, Puerto Rico, Luis Pabon, go on.
Yeah, that's your countryman right there. He did a horrible job.
Your countryman, wait, time out, time out. Don't try to put me on the spot here as the only Boricua in the town. You're a Puerto Rican as well, aren't you?
I am half Puerto Rican as well.
Exactly. A new Rican, half Norway, half New Yorker, half Puerto Rican. Bottom line is, I don't know. I mean, Oleg Usyk, and who's going to win, Oleg Usyk or Daniel Dubois?
You know, Dubois has been on a little bit of a roll, but I think the result is going to be the same. I got Usyk. I think Usyk stops.
But that body shot would have ended the fight. How can you say that?
It would have ended the fight, but I don't think it's going to happen again in the rematch. I think Usyk beats him. It'll be a good fight for our last.
Okay, all right. Here's what's up. We gonna have to bet a soda on this one, okay? I don't drink soda anymore, but we'll bet a soda on this one.
We could bet a soda, but I this is what I think. The longer the fight goes, the more in trouble Dubois is.
I think so too. Dubois has stamina issues.
Yes.
All right. Listen, I'm holding up in front of the camera here a ticket that I got from the San Francisco Police Department. It was a courtesy warning. It was automated speed enforcement violation. Some camera caught me going like 15 miles over the limit. So what I'm trying to tell you is it's getting cold here. And this is something I laughed at Socrates Palmer's wife for. She got like four of them.
Wow. Okay. And I'm looking at it right now. I'm watching you now on Twitch. So.
Big brother is watching, no doubt about that. So you
definitely. You know I have to.
Okay. So we bet a soda on this one. Daniel Dubois, I think is gonna rock. I think he's gonna rock early. If he goes out there and tries to impose his will, I think he's got the greatest chance of winning. If he sticks around, if he tries to outbox him and play with Oleg Usyk, I think he's in trouble. Bottom line is size matters in two things. Pornography in combat sports, especially the heavyweight division, and this is combat sports.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, Dubois is a big guy. I think they're evenly matched as far as size and weight. You know, I just think that Usyk is just on another level. And, maybe he took Dubois a little bit lightly in the first match, got caught with a body shot, you know, did a little acting and kind of got over
did
it.
Somebody else hit him in the body, too, and curl him over?
No, but they hurt him. I think in a rematch versus Joshua, Joshua hurt Usyk to the body in that fight in a rematch. Mm-hmm. Usyk still won the fight, and you saw Usyk get hurt. Other than that, yeah, I haven't really seen Usyk really hurt. But okay. I think the Joshua fight, Fury, I don't think Fury really did anything, to hurt him to the body as much as maybe Joshua and Dubois did.
Okay, I only got about 20 seconds left. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, man. I want to go to Wembley Stadium. Will you fire up the Tommy D mobile, the private jet, and take me and Sock over there or what?
I'll do my best.
Wait, you had to think about that? Man, no. Hey, that's enough of Tommy D today. I mean, won't even take care of us with a private jet. Listen, man, I got to run. All the best to you.
All the best, Pedro. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Sir Thomas Dillon, of course, you can catch him Friday nights on YouTube. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
In terms of the prejudice,
they say I'm controversial. They say that I'm bold, but I wasn't nothing like Jack Johnson. You must remember now, this is a black man. Think about how we were treated here. They had lynchings and rapings and burnings, and every time he'd fight, they lynched Negroes and burned houses. And this history. This man was told, if you beat this white man, we're going to shoot you from the audience. He said, well, just shoot my black so-and-so because I'm going to knock him out. And he's walking around the streets of white women, beating up white men. He had to be a courageous man. So I just admire him for more so than his boxing ability. But in those days, there was no television, no airplanes, no press media, and they lynched Negroes and news didn't leave a certain state. He had the nerve to be beating up white men and daring them to get up and knowing they might kill him. I don't know what he had. Who talked to him? Who was backing him?
Okay, you've expressed yourself, and now I know.
I'm bold. He was crazy.
Muhammad Ali, of course, talking about crazy. Such a good time spending time around Ali. It's just priceless. No doubt about that. Of course, Muhammad Ali talking about the fact that he fought some of the greatest heavyweight fighters in the history of boxing. No doubt about that. Of course, the Joe Frazier fights, epic fights. No doubt about that. The first fight called the Fight of the Century, March 8th, 1971. The third one called the Thriller in Manila. Of course, it was a fight in between in which probably should have got stopped in the second round, but the referee, Tony Perez, blew a knockout call. I mean, Joe Frazier was on the verge of being knocked out by Muhammad Ali in that second fight in Madison Square Garden. But guess what? Tony Perez thought he heard the bell ring, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is, a lot of controversy involved, and Ali never liked him after that point. Talk about referee Tony Perez. Now, let's talk about the UFC. Of course, they had some fights last night in Las Vegas. In the main event, of course, Matheus Gamrot defeated Ludovic Klein. And unanimous 9-3 rounds. Bottom line is, I guess they didn't have a 5-round fight to have the main event. But the bottom line is, a lot of 3-round fights last night as far as the ESPN card as far as the UFC was going, of course, came from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm looking at some of the fights on the card, but there's no names to jump out here. A lot of new names in the world of the UFC. I guess they have a huge turnover, no doubt about that, because there's no longevity in the UFC. None. I mean, you get your ass whipped once, you're done. I'm telling you, man, you're done. You're just absolutely done after that point in time. But I wish him the very best luck. As far as John Jones is concerned, of course, the UFC heavyweight champion dropped a big hint on his future after mocking Tom Aspinall, I think that is his current challenger. They're doing some type of MMA event, Muay Thai event, of course, in Thailand at some type of gym, some MMA gym. Of course, he said that he won't be fighting until next year. I'm talking about John Jones. And John Jones is a man that's considered holding the heavyweight title of the UFC hostage. Now, let's go to some of the history here brought to me by Frank 1961. Of course, Mike McCallum and Roberto Duran's got a picture of him, picture of the two of them posing in a press conference chair. Late referee Davey Pearl, my buddy. He was a busboy. When he went to Las Vegas, he was not a busboy, a bellboy. He was a bellman. He used to carry bags around. He was only like 5'4", a small guy. Davy Pearl, born on this day, June 5th, 1917, in New York City, of course. Despite his 4 foot in size, Davy Pearl commanded great respect and affection from those who knew him in boxing. Not only was he a terrific referee, but he was a man of solid principles, hard-nosed, but he was a lovely guy as well. You rarely hear a harsh word about the guy they called Pear. Bottom line is, he was Sonny Liston's last manager. Of course, he was the guy that told me that Sonny Liston was found. He showed me the picture of Sonny Liston laying on the bed naked with his underwear down around his ankles. What does that mean? Sonny Liston came and went at the same time, because all these guys are selling books on Sonny Liston being killed by the mob, Sonny Liston being killed by the Muslim, Sonny Liston being killed by the Impeccable One. I mean, there's every conspiracy out there you can imagine. Bottom line is, he was pleasing himself, and he had some type of a stroke. I mean, the guy was older than dirt. They said he was born in 1932. I have some indications he was born as early as 1924. Okay, he had boobs, he had breasts. He could have wore a bra in training for those fights with Cassius Clay and then Muhammad Ali. I mean, he was an old man at that point in time. I think he was way older than he said. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Sonny Liston, may he rest in peace. But he died in Las Vegas pleasing himself. Simply put, he came and went at the same time. Of course, Mike McCallum passing away, age of 69 in Las Vegas. This is the way it went down. According to preliminary reports, McCallum fell ill while driving to the gym yesterday, and of course he was forced to pull off the road. He was reportedly found to be unresponsive, later pronounced dead. He was 68 years old. He was a wonderful man. I can't say enough wonderful things about him. I really can't. I mean, he was just... Him and Davy Pearl. Wow, Davy Pearl was a great guy, too. Davy Pearl really helped me out when I was young, and I was an aspiring writer this time. He was the referee for the first Tommy Hearns Sugar Ray Leonard fight back in 1981. I mean, I had so much time around him. It was just wonderful spending time around an icon like that. Him and Mel Greb were friends down there in Las Vegas. Of course, Mel Greb, the big promoter in Las Vegas before Bob Arum at Top Rank came to town. But the bottom line is, Mel Greb, may he rest in peace. Of course, I think he's still kicking Bob Arum from the grave. Of course, I think what Bob Arum did was he fired Mel Greb and he took away his health insurance. So from that point forward, Mel didn't have anything nice to say about Bob Arum, and why should he? Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, May 16, 1990. Of course, Aaron Pryor. Remember Aaron Pryor? The state of Wisconsin granted Aaron Pryor a boxing license. Why did they do that? He was dubbed legally blind in one eye. The Nevada Commission tested him, said he was legally blind in the left eye, and yet the Wisconsin Athletic Commission gave him a license? Did they test his vision? Obviously not. Bottom line is, Aaron Pryor was a piece of work. He was a great fighter, could have been a greater fighter at one point in time, but I think cocaine and cheating, of course, played a major role in his life. There's no doubt about it. Of course, his corner man was Panama Lewis, and Panama Lewis was the crookedest guy in the history of boxing. Of course, he was the guy that took the padding out of the gloves against Alexis Arguello. He wrapped Aaron Pryor's hands in plaster of Paris. In other words, his hands were wrapped in casts instead of regular hand wraps. Of course, took the padding out of the gloves, and he gave Aaron stimulants 3 or 4 times during the fight. So Panama Lewis is a crook, no doubt about that. And guess what? I was picking up on what was going on watching the fight on TV, right? Not too many other people were, okay? And 6 months later, Panama Lewis was busted. He got caught in the act when he did it to Billy Collins with Luis Resto on the Duran Moore undercard in June of 1983. Of course, Panama Lewis, I mean, they took the stuffing out of the gloves. They wrapped his hands with plaster of Paris. They did the same thing they did with Arguello. They just duplicated the effort. Of course, I'm talking about Panama Lewis. May he not rest in peace. I'll never forget the time when I tried to kick his ass. I wanted to beat his ass. Let me tell you, we were in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, and I just stepped into a puddle and ruined about a $200 pair of shoes because I was getting out of a limo. I thought I was pimpish. Got out of a limo, stepped into a... You got to look what you're doing, where you're stepping, okay? I could have stepped into a pile of dung, but instead I stepped into a puddle and it ruined these $200 alligator shoes I had on. Bottom line is, I was pissed off, and I see Panama Lewis. So when I see Panama Lewis, so, you know, he says, man, you write the shit, you write that spit about me, spit with it. I said, yeah, it's all good. Boom, I walked up to him, pushed him right off of me, bam. What, you ready to go? And Don King said, oh, no, Paige, we'll be cool. Because he knew right then and there that I was dead serious. Of course, he told me later, he goes, you were going to beat up Panama? I go to beat up Panama in a minute, no doubt about that. This is Ring Talk Live. Well, anyway, Aaron Pryor, of course, I thought he cheated in the first Arguello fight, the second Arguello fight. Arguello was a broken man. People say to me, you know, that wasn't the same Alexis Arguello. Sure, certainly it wasn't. Because when you get your emotional, when you're broken down mentally and physically at the same time and emotionally, all three, by somebody cheating on you, and you know it and you've trained your best. In other words, he was in the best physical condition he could ever be in. He could never be in better shape at 140 pounds. Was a guy that turned pro at like 126 pounds. Talk about Alexis Arguello, champion at 126, 130, 135. Never captured gold at 140. But the bottom line is two fights with Pryor. The first one was considered like the fight of the year, the epic fight. But at the end of the day, Pryor was taking all these stimulants and he had all these advantages. So at the end of the day, you know, it wasn't a fair fight. And of course, Alexis and I talked about this in depth in Nicaragua and a couple different times here in the United States. But he said, they cheated me and I felt broken, this and that. And when I pushed it on Aaron Pryor, I pushed it on him several times, maybe four or five times. Did you cheat? Did you wrap your hands in plaster of Paris? And he wouldn't look at me. He sort of looked down and he wouldn't look at me. So what's going on? He's looking down. Anyway, bottom line is Pryor admitted doing so without admitting it. So I'm done about this. So may he rest in peace as well, talking about Aaron Pryor. Upcoming fights, June the 8th. I want you to circle this on your calendar, ESPN Plus. If you don't have the app, steal it. Because I think the ESPN is going to get rid of their boxing program pretty soon. Of course, the top-ranked contract is going to expire. But ESPN Plus going June the 8th with the pound-for-pound, one of the best fighters in the world, Hutsu Nakatani, like 33 and zip, 23 KO, something like that, taking on Ryo Nishida. Ryo's got two chances, slim and none, and believe slim ain't even in the country for this one, for the WBC and IBF 118-pound titles. That's going to be rock, no doubt about it. And the day before, June 7th on ESPN, that's the network. You don't have to have the app, ESPN Plus app. It's Keyshawn Davis, the undefeated WBO 135-pound champion, take on former title challenger Edwin De Los Santos. I think De Los Santos got shafted in a couple of fights, or one or two fights, but the bottom line is it doesn't look like he's in the same league as him, no doubt about that. Looking up, the schedule, June 27th, of course, Kristen Mumbili and Masi Sulika for the WBC interim title. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, not the champion. Why would you need an interim champion if you got a champion? Bottom line is, Canelo should be arrested for impersonating a Mexican fighter, and I can't believe the Mexicans keep going along with it. They just keep giving him a pass. It's like you see in the pictures of him wearing a dress, you see, oh, he's that one. You're in denial. Mexican fans are in denial when it comes to Canelo Alvarez. When I say Canelo, I mean it, because the bottom line is there's no macho in him anymore. I mean, the guys he's fought, Jaime Munguia, come on. Jaime Munguia was the glorified Tijuana club fighter that fought a lot of Tijuana cab drivers. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I covered his career early on. There's no doubt about that. Of course, the last fight, William Skull, that was horrible. I mean, he was following Skull around like a dog on a leash, like an obedient dog on a leash. I mean, there was never any desperation in Canelo's mind because he knew he didn't have to do much to win. All he had to do was show up. That was one of those fights where he showed up because the other guy didn't come to win. William Skull didn't come to win. I wish he would have stepped forward a couple more times. He tried that left uppercut out of the southpaw stance once or twice or three times. He tried to make it a home run shot, and he didn't do it. But that was the only two or three times he gambled in that fight. Nobody wants to gamble against Canelo Alvarez. But come September, I think September 12th, we'll have a guy that I think that's going to be willing to gamble, although my cousin Al doesn't think so. But the bottom line is, I think Terrence Crawford, the undefeated former lightweight, junior welterweight, and welterweight title holder, who holds the title, I believe, at 154 now, even though he hasn't looked that good in his last fight, I think he suckered Canelo into this fight. I know I sound like an idiot or some conspiracy freak or something like that, but I just think so. I think he suckered him into the fight, not looking good in the last fight, allowing Canelo to weigh whatever he wants, because the bottom line is, if you're fighting a guy that's bigger than you and slower than you and you got better skills than him, you got a good chance of kicking his ass, whether he's Canelo Alvarez or not. I mean, some of those guys I used to spar in the gym with were bigger than me and I lick them like a stat. Why? Because I had more talent than him. And I think that when it comes down to talent, pound for pound talent, as far as boxing skills are concerned, and I think that Terrence Crawford's got the advantage here over Canelo Alvarez, especially Canelo at this old age. And after that last fight, I mean, do you think Canelo could have been like playing it off too and not trying to show his best hand before the Crawford fight, much like Crawford didn't want to show his best hand before? I mean, come on. Bottom line is, both these guys might be playing a little emotional games here or playing mind games, but at the end of the day, I think Canelo Alvarez, he's there to be taken. He's just there to be taken. I wish that Crawford takes him out, because the bottom line is, I'm just tired of dealing with the Mexican fans. I mean, they're unbelievably crazy as far as supporting the guys are concerned. And you know what? I mean, you've had some great Mexicans over the years. I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez, Salvador Sanchez, I can go on and on. Ricardo Lopez, some people thought great. Oh, they didn't think so. But the bottom line is, you know, Oscar De La Hoya was a Mexican-American. So there's been some great, great Mexican fighters with Mexican defense. But the bottom line is, I think you're pushing it too far with Canelo Alvarez. Now, on June the 27th, the former Bronx Bomber, I'm talking about the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist Deontay Wilder, former heavyweight champion of the world, takes on a taxi driver in Terrell Herndon. That's what I was told. Terrell's claim to fame is that he drives a taxi for a living. June 28th, oh, I can't believe it. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., remember him? Yeah, I talk about him all the time. The fat pig. I mean, a cokehead. He was getting, but he was boning that broad before the fight down there in L.A. When I went in to interview him before the fight at the L.A. Forum. I can't remember who the opponent was because it really didn't matter. He won. But the bottom line is, I went in to interview Julio Cesar Chavez before the fight to get a couple words from him, right? And he wasn't in his dressing room. And when I went to ask the trainers where he was, they sort of looked at me like, I mean, nobody wanted to answer. They looked at, blah, 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 blah. What's going on? So anyway, at that point in time, Chavez walks out of the shower. It was an open shower area, and he walks out with a chick, and he's like basically pulling up his zipper. So the bottom line is, yeah, Chavez was getting laid. So he's going to get laid against Jake Paul. He's probably going to get laid out. I don't think much of Chavez. I don't think much of Jake Paul. Jake Paul being the fake fighter that he is. But at the end of the day, he gets people paid. That's just, I mean, he does. No doubt about that. The co-feature is going to be Zerto Ramirez and Uniel Dorticos for the WBA and WBO Cruiserweight title, 200 pounds. That's going to go on pay-per-view June 28th. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. One more segment after the break. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We're playing taps. The body snatcher, Mike McCallum, has left the ring. He's left the gym. Of course, he's passed away yesterday, May 31st, 2025. May he rest in peace. May 31st, 1983, Jack Dempsey, the American heavyweight champion of note, of course, when the iconic fighters died at the age of 87 in New York City from a heart attack. On May 30th, 1987, Tony TNT Tucker stop James the Buster Douglas, James the Dog Douglas, to win the vacant IBF heavyweight title. I think Buster looked real good early on, just laid down like a dog. That's what we thought he was going to do against Tyson. But guess what? His mother died. He was motivated for that fight. No doubt about that. He took care of business that night. Of course, the meltdown of Mike Tyson in Tokyo, February of 1990. Now, I want to mention some of the UFC cards coming up. 318 next week, of course, Mahrav Derashil, the champion at 135 pounds, the bantamweight champion, taking on Sean O'Malley in a rematch. Juliana Pena taking on Kyla Harrison in a women's bantamweight bout. She's a champion as well. Of course, two bantamweight championships, both male and female, going down. UFC 318, of course, that's next week on pay-per-view. So if you're a pay-per-view guy and you've got the scrambler and that kind of good stuff, good luck to you, because I don't know if I pay $80 to watch this card, but that's what the UFC wants for it. $80, no doubt about that. Want to mention the fact that, you know, we had some good times today. Had a good show today. Want to thank Mark Kriegel. Mark Kriegel really kicked ass. I mean, Mark Kriegel was like pound for pound, one of the greatest guests you can ever get. And guess what? He was like overwhelming. That's what I can say. He's just like, man, talk about delivering. He like delivered and just some more. So I had a great time with him. I thank him so much. Of course, his book is called The Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson by Mark Kriegel. It will come out on June the 3rd. You can order it on Amazon right now as I speak. And of course, the impeccable one, Bailey Peck, has been the producer for today. Of course, the couple of flaws that we had, we blame on the computer. We don't blame it on anybody human. But the bottom line is, he's a great guy, no doubt about that. I'm very fortunate to have him, no doubt about that. And I'm fortunate to have you, my listeners. 40-plus years of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, just 2 p.m. Eastern time, is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'll see you next time.